A long time ago, on a comics page far, far away. Greetings and welcome to May the Panel Be With You, the Star Wars comic book show brought to you by the Punch-Up Entertainment Network. I'm your humble host, Mike Gargoni, and joining me, as always, it's Yoda's suicide mission to my Coruscant, it's John Campbell.
That's right, we're wrapping up this What If, we're going to go into this, we're going to finish up our time over here in this parallel reality before heading back to the other parallel reality that is the 70s comic.
I guess that's true. Like, what have we been reading this whole time, if not some large what if?
Yeah, basically, right? Like, I was thinking about that. I'm like, return to... No, still not the main continuity by any stretch. Mm. And then, of course, in today's world where we have all the legend stuff, there's, I don't know how many parallel realities in the world of Star Wars.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And, it's like, I feel like there's money sitting on the table there for some kind of like Star Wars what if show, right? Like, it just seems so obvious at this point.
We were talking about the other week, and then I literally saw a headline that said, like, someone is, it's in some stage of development. There is discussion of, with the success of the Marvel what if show, apparently Disney is exploring a Star Wars what if show.
I feel like if they just called it Star Wars Infinities or even like Star Wars Legends, that'd be a slam dunk.
Well, they already have the, what's the anime one that they're doing, which is...
Visions, yeah.
Yeah, which is not, I mean, which is not the literal what if, but it still is sort of a like non-canon, you know, imaginative sort of spinning out of a style, so...
No, absolutely. You're taking a basic premise and setting and allowing creators free reign to sort of tell the stories they want to tell, even if they are remixes or just using tangential characters.
Yeah. So I think the proof is there that there's an audience for that stuff. So
yeah, no, for sure. But yes, we are talking about the fourth of four of Star Wars Infinities: A New Hope. We swear it was an issue. It was a single issue that came out at some point, despite all evidence to the contrary.
I know. I feel like every week we have to go, no, really, we have done the research. It makes no sense, but that's what they're telling us.
Yeah. It was written by Chris Warner, pencils by Al Rio, inks by Neil Nelson, colors with Helen Bach, and letters by Steve Dutrow, with Dave Land as our Star Wars editor in the Dark Horse era.
Oh, indeed.
But yeah, lest we forget, this might take a little bit more recap than our previous episodes, because we don't have like whole pages dedicated to recap, so it's harder to like...
Yeah, it's a much more modern comic book that just cares about like, look, you're either reading this or you're not, so get on board.
Right, but at least in modern comics, they even have like the single block page of previously on.
They now have done the previously on is correct, yeah.
So, yeah, let us not forget that in this strange alternate reality in which Luke Skywalker done fucked up at the Battle of Yavin.
I still got to stand up for Luke and say it was a technical error, not his fault.
But leastways, he failed to destroy the Death Star and in doing so ensured victory for the Galactic Empire. And who is there to help build peace and security in their new empire? Why, it's Princess Leia?
I know. What a crazy what if. An infinity, if you will.
I wouldn't, but okay.
I'm going to, because that's the parlance they're choosing to use.
Fair enough. But yes, over the last three issues, we've seen a new, basically a remix of the trilogy, less a remix of A New Hope itself, because we inevitably have Luke sent to Dagobah to train under Yoda.
Yes, Luke goes to Dagobah. Yeah, we've talked about this before, and we know this was sort of the editorial mandate, weirdly, was like, do a different thing, but then kind of still have it go the same way.
Yeah, so we have some big differences. Obviously, we have a lack of Lando, we have a lack of Boba Fett, and bounty hunters in general.
Yeah, imagine a world where two of the most popular characters just weren't in it. Yay!
Look, we never went to Cloud City. What are we going to do? Yeah. but we have a reluctant Han Solo doing an immediate face turn, I believe is the wrestling term. In the last issue, in which he suddenly and gung-ho-ly decided, we need to go take down the Empire because Leia's there.
Weird.
Yeah. Despite meanwhile,
because Empire Strikes Back never happened, their romance never reached its like peak levels either.
Yeah. Nope.
So very strange choice.
But yeah, we have this like big like time jumps in the last couple of issues, in which Luke basically spends 5 years on Dagobah training to become a Jedi.
Yep, that's the craziest thing. One of the craziest things is you're like, whoa, okay, 5 years later.
And all of the big revelations that Luke would eventually learn about his family are given to him by his green Muppet mentor.
Yeah, whoa, 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 just a couple things real quick before you go on this adventure. Just a couple things. You gotta know. but that's what I imagine What If Yoda sounds like. Yo, how you doing? It's me, Yoda, here on Dagobah. So, yeah.
From Brooklyn, so, I am.
Yeah, that's right. Dagobah Street in Brooklyn. Yeah, and so but everybody's gathered back together to make a run on Coruscant here, including Yoda.
Yeah, okay, we're going to talk about, I mean, I mentioned what it was at the top of the show, but like what Yoda's plan is here is absolutely insane. Because I don't know what Luke and Han were planning to do in going to Coruscant other than try to talk some sense into Leia. Like, obviously, these two people can't take down the Galactic Empire, but...
But two people and a Muppet can.
I guess. Let's get into it. Because Yoda's front and center on this cover here, as we have our 4 of 4 Star Wars Infinities. We got the gangs all here. We got Darth Vader. We got C-3PO. We've got... I don't know who's getting electrocuted down here at the bottom, but somebody's getting fried by Palpatine.
It's absolutely fried. And the key I love, of course, is always when you can see the skeleton of the person getting fried.
That just means they're getting electrocuted real good.
Are these... I think it's Luke and Leia, right?
I have no idea. It's really hard to tell.
That's mostly just because of what happens in the issue itself. But I think clearly one of them's a woman with the ponytail and the... slight indication of a breast.
For all I know, it could be Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Those pecs, man.
Those pecs and that ponytail, I'm just saying.
That's true. That's true. And you've got a horrified-looking 3PO and a Vader just going like, seen it before.
It is what it is. And we've got a very Dark Horse house-style Palpatine looking like Mike Mignola might have dragged him out of the shadows. Yeah. Meanwhile, Yoda looks dutifully off into the distance as a Death Star collides with a planet. And that gives you some clue about what the finale of this issue is going to be.
Once again,
oh boy. The
big highlight to me are these covers, though. These covers rule. Sure. All of them are very cool. Whether or not the book inside lives up to them is an interesting question.
Yes.
It's not false advertising, but it just doesn't live up to the... impact of those images. Anyway, we get our credits page, which we can skip past because it's but like always, it's the same thing, although now with the Disney logo.
And then we go straight to look at all these Imperial ships above Coruscant.
Which
this
does,
is nuts.
As Han says, this is nuts. And then something I can't imagine Han Solo saying, I used to say Mama didn't raise them. The idea of anyone using the phrase "mama," mama.
Now,
I can't.
Would it have been better if he had said "mama didn't raise no fools"?
It certainly would have been more '70s, which would apply.
Because that's the sentiment, right? Like, "mama didn't raise no dumb kids."
Yeah, "mama didn't raise no dumb kids." But you're just like, I can't imagine that coming out of Han Solo. No, come on.
But Chewie even reprimands him with a ronk.
Ronk? Tell me about it.
Yeah, so we've got a thing we never saw in the movies, and that's Yoda in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon.
No, that is that's like one of the few. There are these moments where you're like, yeah, there's the Infinities thing I'm looking for.
That's the juice, that's
crazy. Because this is nuts. This is nuts, Yoda. You're on the Falcon.
we have a plethora of Superstar Destroyers. Now, okay.
Yeah.
This is me going to get nitpicky for a second.
What? About Star Wars? No.
On this page, we see upwards of 20 Superstar Destroyers in this assembled armada.
Mm-hmm.
There were not that... How many Superstar Destroyers in service during this era of the Galactic Empire? It's just the cost ratio of keeping something like that operational is just...
Well, that's the thing about it. It's the idea of the Superstar Destroyer implies that, like, that's like, those are like your aircraft carriers, right? You're not going to have a whole fleet of those things. They're gigantic.
Well, and look, you've got a Death Star, so you immediately blow that out of the water with that. But
right.
But just how many of those were serving during the, like, height of the Galactic Empire? Right. It was relatively few. And so, like, there's definitely some reuse of shadowed art on this page, because my nitpick is, of course, well, there weren't that many Superstar Destroyers in service during the height of the Empire in this era, but my larger issue is, no, this was just the artist copy and pasting art assets over and over and over again on this page, and the same is true for the regular Star Destroyers.
Yeah, definitely. It's still cool to see.
Sure, no, very cool to see so many things going on there, but it's just
like, I like the one Superstar Destroyer that sneaks in below the panel with our heroes. It's just like, I'm here too.
And I'm around, yeah.
Another one right here.
Anyway, moving on.
All right, well, let's go to Empire.
We got Han.
We got a little bit with Han and... Yeah,
a little bit of Han and Leia. They, up at the top of the page here, they're like, how the heck are we going to do this? And Yoda, always the comfort, saying, soon enough we shall find out, yes. Find which side of the Force is truly stronger, we will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Yoda already contemplating mass murder.
Can't wait. Meanwhile, two noted mass murderers immediately.
Yeah, but at least they're ostensibly the bad guys.
Yeah. Hey, man. When you look into the abyss, man, the abyss looks back into you. That's all I'm saying for Yoda there.
I guess. Yeah.
And then this is another thing of Vader going like, I really think something bad's going to happen. And Palpatine being like, oh, shut up.
For 3 issues now, we've had Vader being like, I sense a disturbance, Master. I don't know what to tell you. And Palpatine always saying, don't worry about it.
I've got it. Remember, I foresaw everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's all up here, baby. Yeah. But then he does hit him with the, I hope your faculties will be keener when your son arrives.
And Vader going like, my what?
I do really like, just a shout out to the art here, I do really like Palpatine reflected in the glasses of Vader's helmet. Is very cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Though, again, this raises a very big question that we wrestled with last time about, like...
When does he know?
When does Vader find out that Luke Skywalker is A, a person, and B, his son, given the timeline of this book? Yeah, really unclear.
Yeah, because it does seem to be kind of new information here, but you're like... I don't think that makes a ton of sense.
No.
No.
So, what's this? A familiar image of the Millennium Falcon entering the Death Star.
Here we go again.
I like Han's line here. This is your plan? Going back to the Death Star?
We've already been here.
Didn't we do this?
I do like that. Well, at least we know the way to the brig.
But you know what really helps when you're getting inspected by an Imperial boarding party?
What's that?
Tiny green Muppets with mind powers.
Oh, yeah. They come in handy more than you'd think in Star Wars. I'll say that right now. This Muppet, man.
So it looks like Yoda is disembarking here.
Yes.
And R2's coming with him.
Yeah, man. We're bringing the whole gang this time.
Well, really just Yoda and R2, because on this next page we have Yoda coming down the ramp from the Falcon saying, "Pleased I am to see you. For meeting us, I thank you. Expect us, Admiral Tarkin does."
By the way, there's a line here that they say, "Safety's off." I've never thought about a safety catch on the, like, blasters of Star Wars.
I would assume the safety would be putting it into stun.
Yeah, yeah. You've never seen anyone kick, like, next to their gun in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Safety's off, boys!
Never seen but, yeah, Yoda talks his way onto the Death Star.
That's me always.
Nope, just this time, as far as I know.
Expect us, does Admiral Tarkin.
Yeah, and important business we have.
He really does. This is a firm example of, like, how fucking powerful is the Jedi mind trick? Because, he's getting this one soldier to do this, you know, this one trooper, but everybody else is going with it.
So yeah.
Entire, like, battalion?
There's a term that's used in, like, fantasy and sci-fi of, like, hand-waviness. And in Star Wars, it became literal, right? Where the waving of the hand was just like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And in this particular, like, 4 to 5 panel sequence in which Yoda mind tricks an entire cargo bay full of stormtroopers and anyone else who might be paying attention elsewhere in the station using, like, oh, I don't know, that little booth that we saw in Star Wars that looks down on the hangar bay. It's just like, don't worry about it. Yoda's this powerful. Moving on.
So Yoda's he's going to go meet with Tarkin.
I guess, or at least he's convinced his stormtroopers that Tarkin's waiting for him. And he's also convinced this whole hangar to let Luke and Han go.
Yeah, great. The thing, though, this is where it's like when Han's like, boy, I could get used to this Force stuff. Say, I know a nice casino on Nar Shadda. I don't want the comments.
There's two A's at the end, John. That's all I'm saying.
Should I? All right, fine. I'm more of a Canto Bight guy. Han, it's very, once again, it's very tough for Han to suddenly be the scoundrel again when it's like, you were the most altruistic man to, like, go, we've got to stop the Empire. So it's tough to write Han in the comic.
If it wasn't for Han suddenly for no reason going, I need to go back to Dagobah to go grab Luke, none of this would be happening.
Right, and so you're like, while this would be a fine, normal Han Solo line, you're like, wait a minute, now you're, like, leading the charge on this thing. You're Mr. Rebel now. I do like the, cheer up, Luke, I have a good feeling about this.
Whoa, we're in an alternate reality!
But then, uh-oh, when we turn the page, never mind, it's a bad feeling.
Remember that good feeling I was telling you about? I take it back.
That's all good Han Solo dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, Luke is sensing stuff and being like, uh-oh, they know I'm here.
Well, he has his Return of the Jedi line. When he says, I'm endangering the mission, they know I'm here.
Right. Once again, we're just turning New Hope into Return of the Jedi now with this.
Again, this book is, like, barely a New Hope at this point.
Yeah. I mean, by the time you're getting into all this stuff, which is really strange. So they land and everybody scuttles out. I like their little silhouettes.
That's the sneaking panel.
Yeah, they are. They're all in that crouched, like, particularly, of course, Chewie in a Sasquatch, like, hey.
Of course. And again, Han being Mr. Hero at this point, when Luke turns to him, says, you don't have to do this. And Han, like, obviously, like, only half serious as, well, yeah, I'm still due a reward for rescuing the princess last time.
Yeah.
But it's just like, if he was really that hung up on that particular reward, there's no way he would have waited around for 5 years for Luke to become a Jedi.
Yeah, Han is a real problem in this comic. They really can't. Oh, God.
It's like this is a Han Solo who was transported from the Return of the Jedi we know, is suddenly in this comic that has had none of those events leading up to it.
That's the problem with the thing that I get that was why Peter David. Why he quit, and I totally get that, because it's like, you want me to fundamentally change all the events, but still have all the characters end up where they did, basically. Right? And so you're like, this is a Han Solo where if none of the events of Empire or Jedi happen, he would still be the same guy that he is at the end of Jedi. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but we're just along for the ride here.
Yeah, we're just like, because we've got to. So let's turn the page here. And the Falcon's taking off.
Yeah, Chewie's taking it elsewhere, I guess?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. That doesn't make any sense. Who's flying the Falcon? Chewie's with them. Unless, well, oh, and that, okay, that bottom right panel, Chewie goes back up onto the Falcon.
Which, why was he getting off then?
Just to make sure the coast was clear? I don't know.
He basically just walks, if you to follow these panels, he walks down the ramp exiting the Falcon, only to immediately turn around and walk back up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Han does have this word bubble in the middle that says, just keep the engine running, Chewie.
Yeah. But why, okay. I don't know.
But yeah, on the next page, Chewie flies away. Meanwhile, back on the Death Star, again, a scene we would never have had in the movies, which is Grand Moff Tarkin being confronted by Yoda.
Like, cool and like it's unexpected, but also like, I don't, fucking Tarkin and Yoda have any personal beef?
No, other than Yoda, good guy. Yeah.
Right, yeah. So if it's just like, cool. But also very little impact to me, other than I love the wide-eyed drawing of a Peter Cushing going, hmm?
That is very reminiscent of, if you've ever seen any of the Hammer films in which he played Dr. Frankenstein, there's definitely a few moments where he's just like, oh no, I've been hoisted there by my own petard.
On our network that I have seen every one of those movies.
Yeah, but that look gets utilized a lot in those films.
Oh, it sure does, you bet. A long time it has been. What?
I'm trying to remember if in any canon that I'm aware of that Yoda and Tarkin have ever interacted. And I can't...
I don't think ever directly.
So young Tarkin does show up a fair amount in some of the later seasons of Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And most of his interactions are with Anakin Skywalker for the most part. And right. Like, there's at least a couple of books that imply that, like, post Clone Wars, Tarkin, because of those interactions, was able to figure out who Darth Vader was.
Right.
Though he, like, didn't really do anything with that information. I can't think
of anything where these two directly had any contact with each other.
Yeah, other than no.
They were just on opposite sides of the same war.
Yeah. Well, and in the Clone Wars, they would have been on the same side of that war. Because Tarkin served the Republic and the Republic Navy.
That's true. That's true. That's the, yeah. A tour of your vessel, I desire.
Also, and I guess this maybe just speaks to Yoda's mind control powers. Just like,
yeah.
I find it so difficult to believe that Grand Moff Tarkin would be susceptible to the mind trick.
I'd say with you, because they do talk about it as of the weak-minded.
Right. Because like, you see, it doesn't work on Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, that alone should be Jabba. Tarkin should definitely have more mental ability than Jabba the Hutt, right?
Right.
Like, no offense to Jabba, obviously, who you know, but like, he's a crime lord.
Or fucking Watto.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Mind tricks don't work on Toydarians.
I'm a stereotype. You know, made me think Watto.
But yeah, Yoda wants a tour of the Death Star, and there are some already terrifying implications to what is happening here.
Look at that last panel. Look at that look in his eyes.
There's no mercy left in the eyes of Yoda of Dagobah.
It's about to go down, man.
He has lost all semblance of humanity as the light slowly fades from his puppety eyes.
Kill them all, I will. all right, so we got Han and Luke sneaking about.
Yeah, they make a note that they haven't encountered any guards, that this is all too easy, because of course it is.
Yep. Do like Luke with the blue lightsaber because he never lost it in Empire.
Yeah, no, good touch. Again, really confused as their plan here, because it seems to be just like, grab Leia and leave?
Yeah. Because, yeah, they're just sneaking around going, we gotta get Leia out of here. Wait, I think she's over there, but I can't quite read where she is. And then
what's this?
Imperial Guard.
Imperial Guards. Not only Imperial Guards with lightsabers.
Which, all right, this is rad as hell. And that's the thing about these Infinities books. I don't know that they fully work in whole, but there are moments that are just cool as hell like this. Where you're just oh, fuck.
Well, and these Red Robe Guards with double-sided lightsabers. Because, again, as these books were coming out, they were happening after Phantom Menace, but before Attack of the Clones.
Of course, we all remember I remember seeing that trailer and just losing my mind when a second blade came out of Maul. Like, what in the what? Everything I know is different now.
You can have on both sides, but I don't...
What? Yeah. 10-year-old me was just like... doesn't get any better. And then, this is awesome, this panel. Number one, two of them are doing backflips in the air. And now Han and Luke are fighting Imperial Guard with double-blade laser. This is awesome. This book needed a lot more of this kind of like... Ah!
One of my favorite, silliest things to see in action movies, and it happens a lot in, like, kung fu movies, is people in floor-length robes doing flips without the robes falling over their heads.
Yep. Yeah. Watch anything that's set, you know, in, like, ancient China or anything like that constantly happening. And look at that. Those robes are they're defying gravity.
What it reminds me of is because, like, the action figures of these dudes, the robes would be, like, pretty substantial plastic that would just fall down to their boots. And so if you turned the action figure upside down, those robes wouldn't fall because they're stiff plastic. That is what I can only assume is happening here.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And so they're and then, oh, man, I talk about just cool imagery when we go to the next page. Luke is cutting one of the double-blade lightsabers in half. Han's blasting away.
Han's blaster gets sliced in half.
Yeah. It's awesome. This is all awesome.
Luke force throws a double-bladed lightsaber at two of these guys.
That is so badass.
And then cuts them both in half.
He tells Han to duck, and he just takes out two of them. Ugh. Yeah. He basically clotheslines a couple guys with a lightsaber.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
This is all so fucking badass. It's insane. And Luke just is kicked hard enough to go, "Hurf!"
And is about to get cut down when, what's this, a red lightsaber plunges through the back of one of these guys, coming out through his chest. And it's not really clear who did that. I assume it was Han Solo.
It has to be Han Solo, because the other option is it's C-3PO. Which, as crazy as that is, I think, but it is, this is bad comic book storytelling. You see this blade go through the guy, and then it's just Han with his hand on his belt, and you're like, what?
Yeah, because we cut from Luke getting saved to Han just standing there, and then suddenly also, three POs there, and did he kill that last dude? Who's to say?
I would love 3PO just holding the lightsaber.
Well, considering what happens in about a page here with 3PO, it's very possible. This is a different 3PO than we knew.
Yeah, but no one else is holding a lightsaber, so your guess is as good as anyone's. So he's like, "You got to come with me. I'll take you to the princess. Everybody just follow me."
Yeah, 3PO is saying, "You've got to follow me. We've got to help her before it's too late." So that is just hook, line, and sinker for Luke to go along with.
Like Han saying, "I wonder if he shut up since we last saw him." Yeah, situation or dire, but I'm still going to take a crack at this robot.
Look, universes may change, situations may change, the flow of time may be disrupted. 3PO ain't never shutting up.
Yeah. And Han Solo ain't never not being annoyed by, oh, God. Like, the second he shows this, it's like, oh, Jesus, this guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go. It's Leia all in black, Luke all in black. Oh, boy.
And on this next page, we have Leia flanked by Darth Vader and the Emperor standing below an awesome neon emblem that they just, this is their emblem room. This is where the emblem lives.
Do you like my emblem?
We just got it wired up correctly. It was doing a weird flickering thing for a while, but now it's pretty cool.
Vader said it was wizard, didn't you, Vader?
Come on, don't be... He was so happy about it. Oh, he was so giddy. Anyway, I'm going to kill you. So we get basically a rejiggered version of the throne room scene from Jedi.
Yeah, except this time it's Leia confronting Luke and not Vader.
And it's all I mean, it's all Palpatine stuff. Destiny has brought you to this moment, Jedi.
Yeah.
Something, something dark side, something, something complete, right? Like, it is that.
The princess has come to see the truth in this. Oh, a truth in which she will give you ample instruction.
I now see Han does have the double blade lightsaber, so I guess now we can say that was him.
Where was he keeping that? It just appears in his hands.
Yeah. And as awesome as it is to see Han with a double blade lightsaber. Yeah, what? He's just like, I guess do I need this now? It appears. It's like a fucking video game.
He just got it out of his inventory. That's where it was. Okay.
Click, click, click. There. Equip lightsaber.
Got it. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for explaining that to me, John.
And so, yeah, there you go. Palpatine is basically like, so now I'm going to make you fight your sister to the death, and it's going to be pretty sweet.
So I do love this little bit of mirrored imagery down here at the bottom two panels where we have Leia lighting up her lightsaber while Luke is turning his off. So we have her blade coming out while his blade is going away. And Luke saying, nothing you can say will make me fight her.
My sister. And then she's like, wait, what? Let me go to the next page.
Yeah. Finally, it's Leia's turn to get the what the face.
And I'm so glad they had Han light up his double lightsaber, only to drop it immediately here and do nothing with it.
Yeah, when 3PO gets him in a chokehold?
What are you talking about? This is so weird.
So... we have this interaction happening that's like high space melodrama, and it is really undercut when 3PO's golden arm goes around Han Solo's throat as he raises a gun to his head. So suddenly 3PO's in Training Day.
King Kong ain't got shit on me.
It raises a question about, like, 3PO's strength.
Has never been established as being anything more than, like, I can lift a flag sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It feels like Han could just, like, a small movement of his shoulder would knock 3PO over here. Like, I just don't... seeing 3PO put someone in a headlock seems impossible to me. Yeah. Number one... I don't think his arm bends more than like that, right? Like anytime you see him, his arms are always just kind of these like rigid.
I feel like at best he's got like, maybe he can get it to a 90 degree angle with his elbow.
Yeah, I don't think he's very, he does not have a lot of points of articulation. At least that's what I remember from my 3PO figure. He moved a lot less than the other ones.
Yeah, and so now we've got the situation where it's like, look, if you don't fight your sister, we'll kill your pirate friend.
The idea of 3PO being like, everybody back off or I shoot this guy. I need a helicopter fully fueled at the airport right now. And then the idea of like your pirate friend. And Han, I'm sorry, is now the time to go, hey, whoa, buddy.
Look, I'm a smuggler and a scoundrel, but I draw the line at pirate. Come on.
Yeah, don't put me in the same category as Crimson Jack, all right?
Ooh, I mean, okay, I understand that now.
Yeah, all right, now this does have to be said. If you're putting me, because that guy sucks. And so once again, Luke is trying to talk Leia down, who's still coming at him with her red lightsaber.
When Vader is also having a bit of a revelation here.
Damn. This is the other problem when you start condensing all this stuff is you have these revelations that happen over the course of the movies, all happening very, very fast for these characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember.
And then once again, the fucking Emperor being a douchebag and just go, oh, you didn't know? I really thought you'd figure it out.
Because Vader's been training Leia this whole time, right? Mm-hmm. Or, like, trying to unlock the dark side in her.
5 years.
Yeah, this whole time. But the fact that Vader is only having this revelation now seems strange, both in, like, tone and timing. Because in Return of the Jedi, as he's, like, dueling Luke, and he's like, your thoughts betray you. I sense you have people you care about, including a sister. Perhaps she can be turned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is a very malevolent, like, turn for Darth Vader to say, like, look, I'm still totally backing the Emperor at this point. If you fail, maybe I can turn your sister. And so he's all on board the, we're a big evil family train at that point.
It's an interesting thing, because it's something I think we brought up before, which I've always been fascinated by, which is like the idea that Luke is his son is a big deal, but we never really get much of what Vader's thought towards having a daughter is. The Vader-Leia thing, at least in the movies, of course, some of the novels have explored this more, and more so in those like Aftermath novels and stuff like that, where it's more about addressing her dealing with being part of the lineage of Vader.
Well, that's Claudia Gray's novel, Bloodline, I want to say.
Bloodline. That's more how it's been dealt with. But it is interesting. It does seem like Vader is very much on, like, Luke is my son. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I guess I also have a daughter.
Well, and this particular comic, it seems a little bit more affecting, which was what I find interesting. Because this is a Vader who hasn't suffered the same defeats as the one in Return of the Jedi. This is a Vader that's been, like, very secure in his power and position for the entire length of what would have been the trilogy.
But also because of that, I am kind of with Palpatine here on, like, you didn't fucking figure that out?
Yeah, shouldn't you exactly.
Really? Like, the look on his face in that line is just like, geez, you're not the Sith Lord I thought you were. Good Lord.
Look, we definitely have a lot of implications in this story, among others, that, like, Darth Vader isn't what Palpatine wanted in an apprentice and a successor.
I mean, that's the end of Jedi, right? He wants Luke to kill Vader so he can become his guy and then also maybe steal his body. But that's, you know, that's the quiet part.
That's the quiet part that isn't said out loud until Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, and maybe your body. What was that? Oh, nothing. What was I going to take the weird burned up cyborg body? I don't think so.
But then we get to the truly insane part of this comic.
All right, here it is. Because when we turn the page, Luke deflects Leia's attack.
They clash, and then we cut to a wide shot of Coruscant as a nameless Imperial officer says, Commander, I'm reading a power surge from the battle station. Should we? Kaboom!
And this Super Star Destroyer goes up! Because the Death Star is now firing at this is another cool thing that's in this where you're like, God, the Death Star just firing at other ships.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it a little bit in Return of the Jedi when it's like this fully operational battle station.
Yeah, you do see a little bit of that there. And then, cut to, gee, Admiral, your ship murders real well.
Okay. So this is yet another, like, really got a hand wave, this one.
Oh, yeah.
Is the firing sequence of the Death Star a one-man operation?
Well, based on what we've saw in any of the movies, no.
Like, it's really like, no.
No, yeah, it cuts to, like, whole control rooms where guys are flipping switches, and then there are those guys, I don't know what those guys standing there by the thing, but obviously they're doing something when the beam shoots by them. So you're talking, like, it seems like at least 15 guys are needed to fire this thing, based on the movies.
At least.
Yeah. And it's, like, it's like, you gotta flip this, you gotta push that button, which would make sense for the level of weapon it's described as. It would seem like, it's not going to just fire easily. Another problem I have with Rise of Skywalker. Anyway, moving on.
The Death Star is less of a weapon and more of an industrial process that produces a destructive effect.
makes, like I said, makes sense for the way it's spoken of. You get the sense, like, yeah, there's a reason this thing is the biggest fucking thing, right? And also, there's a reason why they can't just go around blowing up that planet, this planet, this, you know, it's like it takes a lot.
So, to have R2, and R2 who's not plugged into anything.
Mm. He's on Wi-Fi.
We would have assumed that's why Yoda brought R2 with him, is to plug in and basically be the hacker voice I'm in character in this situation.
R2 can fit that role so well. I mean, that literally from the start of Star Wars, R2 is such a deus ex machina, right? About just like, oh, R2 just plugged his thing in and now it works.
Yeah, exactly. But instead, we have R2 sitting here glorying in the destruction. Yoda and a absolutely flabbergasted looking Tarkin. Meanwhile, we have voices coming from outside the like control room that says, "We're locked out of the system," as they hammer on the door.
And then Yoda's like, "Let's see what else this thing does." Blowed up real good, it did.
Just okay. Moving on. Back to clashing Leia and Luke.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Yeah. So Zax is as they, which is cool. Once again, great individual panel of them with their blades crossed, and then Vader and Emperor behind them. Very cool.
Yeah, love it. We get a classic then, good.
All we need in here to get the full effect of the Emperor would be a "do it," but of course that hasn't happened yet.
No, instead we get a "Your Excellency, it's the death, it's attacking the clark, and suddenly..."
Another great reaction is that Emperor, "Wait, what?"
If the Emperor had been drinking a glass of water, he would have done a spit take right now.
What? He's full on the Seth MacFarlane Emperor we do there with the like, "I didn't see that coming."
Yeah, the Emperor gets a report that the Death Star is attacking the Imperial fleet.
Yeah.
And it is.
And, you know, this one could have been called Revenge of the Jedi, because Yoda is killing everybody for killing his friends, basically, right? Like,
yeah, look, there is a certain level of complicity that anyone who serves in the Imperial Army and Navy would have to the atrocities committed by the Empire, correct?
Of course.
That being said...
maybe wholesale genocide is not the...
And this is something that, like, the Mandalorian and the Ahsoka shows have sort of dealt with a little bit of just, like, there has to be a certain level of rehabilitation, because you can't take worlds upon worlds of people who are working for the Imperial machine and take them all as complicit in every atrocity.
The other thing about it is, like, because obviously the one-to-one historical comparison of the Empire and the Nazis are like,
right.
Yeah, but you're talking about... infinitely wider spread power and infinitely long, well, not infinitely, but quite a bit longer possession of power as well. Yeah. When you think about a good, probably a good solid 20 years of this guy being the Emperor.
Which, I mean, is like, relatively speaking, like what? The Nazis take over in 1933.
Yeah, somewhere, I mean, at least rise to power. I would say, like, it's a good probably 10 to 12 years of control. But of at least initially, start small and spread out and only get to. But, like, you're talking about the Emperor's reach is so broad, and it's 20-plus years altogether.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, like, yeah, at a certain point, it was like, what the fuck were you going to do other than join them, all right? Like...
They came in the largest party in the German government in 1932. So, yeah. The Galactic Empire is around, like, about twice as long as the Nazi regime. But also, and, yeah, it's just infinitely bigger, infinitely wider, touches way more infrastructure.
And also, like, how many people... Sure, you're all complicit, agreed. Like, though I was just following orders. But if you're stationed out on Tatooine or something, like, you know, like, if you're out in the middle of, like... Yeah, you probably can just be like, "Look, I was just fucking out here, man. I wasn't doing it, you know."
I'm just saying, like, you add the, like,
version of that, right?
Sure, but then you add like the complexity of what we saw in Solo, where you know that there are soldiers on the ground who don't want to be there and are just being like basically forced at gunpoint into battles that they have no comprehension or understanding of.
You know, my plan has been raided of his resources, and literally, like, if I don't join up, my family can't eat and stuff like that. There's any number. There are plenty of victims of the Empire within the Imperial structure as well. Now, anyone in the fucking gray uniforms can fucking fuck off. But like those guys, if you're aboard like a Star Destroyer, you're gonna have a tougher time.
Sure. My point with all of this is that the the crew complement of a super Star Destroyer is, let's see here, super Star Destroyer, Wikipedia, it's a lot. I don't have the exact number in front of me like I did with the regular Star Destroyers. Sorry.
A shit ton.
It's a bunch.
It's a whole bunch. And Yoda is basically just being like, ha ha, murdered you all I did.
Yeah. And we see at least like four Super Star Destroyers on fire.
Yeah. Ha!
But Yoda ain't gonna stop there.
Oh no. Cause let's go back here. And so now it's like, who cares? When we come back and the Emperor's like, I no longer care about this sibling duel. We've gotta get this shit under control, man. And meanwhile, Luke is trying to once again convince Leia not to do this. And it's when she says fight harder, it's implied he is just fighting defensively and sort of, you know, and Vader is just sort of like completely like his mind is elsewhere is what is being implied here.
Yeah, Vader seems to be just like contemplating being a father for the first time.
So much responsibility.
Well, and obviously, like, he's coming to terms with the fact that, like, there's pieces of Amidala still around. Yep. And, like, one of the big turning points in the newer canon comic books is this idea that, like, once Vader discovers that he has children at all, it starts to rumble his relationship with the Emperor, because the Emperor told him, Vader, you killed Padme and she died, so of course her kids would die with her.
And that makes so much sense, because by the time you get to Return of the Jedi, he really is like, or even by the end of Empire, right? He's talking about we can rule the galaxy together. He is talking, he's still evil. He's still on the dark side. Sure. But he is more like, that guy sucks. Let's kill him, and then it can be the Skywalker regime.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's pretty sweet.
Okay, just again, I found the number. sorry, I hate to hang up on the 40,000 people are aboard
Yoda's on his way to slaughtering millions, is what you're saying.
We'll get to the end of this issue when it's and he easily clears like millions.
Yeah. Yeah, which feels very not Jedi to me, but that's all right.
But
and then,
for some reason, Luke can just shake Leia out of her.
Yeah, it's hate. Very easy. It's much easier than Vader, which I guess it would be. But still, yeah, it is just like this is another example of like, well, we've got a 22-page comic here. We've got to wrap this sucker up. And he's just like, yeah, because basically in the background of this, he's just like, I turned her back to the good side, so you fucked, Emperor.
I mean, it basically just Luke says, I can feel the conflict within you, and Leia goes, conflict? There's no, oh god, there is conflict. Luke?
Never mind. And actually, the conflict is resolved. I'm back on the light side now. And he's just like, yep, turned it. Now you got the Skywalker twins after you, Emperor. How you like that shit?
Leia's a Skywalker, like our father, like the noble line of Jedi stretching over 1,000 generations. It's over, Emperor.
That's not actually as cool as what he says in Jedi, but that's okay. Because I love the I'm a Jedi like my father before me. And here he's just going like, yeah, well, also so is she and the other people, and you're done, pal.
And then the Emperor's just like, all right, cool. Lightning!
Crack! Or is it more of a
that's
which
pretty,
is actually That's good. That's good. I like the four quick close-up panels here with the sound effect going over them.
Mm-hmm. It is clear that you lack the strength to be the future. The dark side will ensure that you do not see it.
And then something that they're like, well, we can go a lot further than Jedi. This leaping tackle Vader does.
No! I do like Vader just fucking bodying Palpatine.
You're not used to seeing Vader soar through the air ever. Like, even if you think about him at his most powerful, like in like Rogue One, right? It's more of a stalking. He's just moving. It's sort of a walk. It's fast walk and throwing people around at him. I can't think of many times that Vader, like, we talked about this when there was that in the 70s comic. There's that thing where he's like leaping off of the dock on that thing.
Yeah.
Like, man, that is, it is weird. It is weird to think he would get in the air. Like, I feel like he's very heavy.
I feel like there's one bit in Empire where he leaps off of a catwalk to land on another catwalk.
Yeah,
and you that's do pretty much it.
Yeah, but that's, yes, that's pretty much it. And it's not this.
No, it's not a full bodied like fucking NFL linebacker tackle into Palpatine.
Oh, Vader out of nowhere.
And that's a fourth and long.
Yeah. That's going to cost him, Jim.
Mm.
And then, okay, when we go to the next page, during all of this, 3PO is still just...
So dumb.
I do like, have you gone mad? Go, my children, go. I have to make up for lost years with my children.
Yeah, and again, we have a Vader here who hasn't lost a hand and is just like fucking wrestling with the Emperor.
Yeah, this is very much like when the Frankenstein monster fought the Wolfman. It's a lot of tussling.
Come here. Look, as a fan of kaiju movies, I perfectly understand this level of combat.
It's more of a grapple than anything, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah. Oh, and then 3PO is very quickly defeated, actually.
Yeah, of course he is.
Like, this force push that Luke does on him has to be the lowest level of... That took none of his energy to do, right?
If anything, this should be, like, a level of embarrassment for Han Solo that haunts him to his dying day. It's just like, you were taken out by 3PO.
I know. I will say, as somebody who, you know, Han is definitely my favorite character in the whole franchise... It is really sad to see my boy that this is what he does for the majority of the climax of this is be held by fucking C-3PO. Who honestly, now that I know safeties are on, probably left the safety on that
guy. Because yeah, look, he may have a billion forms of communication, but you think any of those involve blaster pistols?
Hmm. No, the only time we see 3PO with a blaster is when his head is on that... battle droid's body.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
All right. But then also Han is left carrying 3PO.
I
out
know.
Here.
I love that whatever this is, are we going on classic mind control logic for a droid that he hits his head and he's fine? Because now he's stumbling out. Look at this 3PO. It looks like they're pulling him out of the bar and he's embarrassed himself after a few too many.
I mean, we did see that droid bar in the last season of The Mandalorian.
That's true.
So look, he's all oiled up and kind of sloshy.
It does feel a little bit lazy. Like, I'm so sorry, man. I think this got way out of hand.
I don't know what I was doing, Mr. Solo.
That wasn't me. And then Luke and Leia now it's awesome again. When they're just slashing their way through stormtroopers. I love all the laser blasts going everywhere in this too.
Yeah, I mean, this is the promise of, like, the little bit we saw in Rise of Skywalker with Luke and Leia training together, right? Like, this is the height thing, of what people want out of that.
That thing where, once again, it's like, okay, could you just made that movie? That movie would have been pretty rad. And then, I mean, I do like Han's, I got the droid, I'm doing stuff, too. I mean, that feels like Han Solo. And then
on this next page... This is where Yoda makes the turn to full-on, like, terrorist homicidal psychopath.
Well, him on the giant screen makes me think of the end of Inglourious Bastards.
It makes me think of Saw.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Because it's still a puppet.
Yeah. Hello, Emperor.
play a game, we will.
Yeah. Yoda. Now, this is interesting because this is implying a lot of history between these two, which is true. However, those movies haven't come out yet. So they are surmising, and it's not that far of a stretch to think that these two would battle. That battle between them in Revenge of the Sith fucking rules.
Sure. Look, he threw the Senate at him.
Yeah, man. Once again, say what you want of the prequels, but I will defend Revenge of the Sith to the end.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, save your fleet. The dark side did not.
Yeah, that's right. I murdered everyone, you know.
If we average out the lives of everyone aboard those Star Destroyers, I easily topped a million. Why not make it two?
On my way to two, I am. and so he's like, you just got the upper hand for a while, Yoda, but it's not going to last because I've got IT on it right now. They're shutting down all the controls, so...
Well, and this is where it becomes chilling, because Palpatine comes in with a, why delay the inevitable, come down here and face me, Jedi. And Yoda, just dead eyes, staring out of this big monitor saying, coming to see you I am, now.
I do kind of like this. I want this, like, Liam Neeson old man action movie.
I mean, this is a Yoda that has... I mean, this is the fuck around and find out Yoda, right? Like, this is...
Is he ever?
I'm about to die one way or the other. Like, because in the movies, I would have just died peacefully in my sleep. Yeah. In this book, I'm going to fucking do the most ballistic thing you've ever seen.
Die tonight, you will. It is very much that, where you're just like, nothing left to lose, I have.
So we've got Han screaming, Chewie, get in here, Chewie, we gotta get out of here.
I don't trust Yoda not to kill us too.
Well, nor should he.
And we're back to, once again, 3PO is now just back to 3PO, and he's dead weight at this point.
I guess, yeah.
Han shooting a guy behind his back is always cool.
We've got the Falcon sweeping in. And then Han turns and says, guys, is that the Death Star? As he looks up and the entire horizon is taken up by the Death Star entering Coruscant's atmosphere.
Which is very cool. But I also like these, like, was this part of the plan? I don't know. And at this point, they're just like, I don't know. Yoda was clearly off on his own thing, man. Whatever he was up, this has gotten real personal. And yeah, it is an interesting idea to think that had Yoda gotten farther in the story, is this what he would have become? Good Lord.
So then at the bottom of this page, Palpatine has teleported to a different room entirely.
Yep. Oh, yeah. One of his underused powers.
Is
his vamping ability.
This book never addresses is what happens to Vader here.
No. Nope. I don't know.
Because if we go back a couple of pages, we'll see that, like, last we saw, Vader was, like, kind of on the back foot against Palpatine, but we never actually see that fight finish.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's basically like, I guess he dies because, I mean, everybody does, right? When this fucking Death Star.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Yeah,
but I guess,
we cut to a blinding flash of light.
I love
Palpatine's face being like...
Uh-oh. I may have made a few mistakes.
You're probably wondering how I got here.
And then, God damn it, he runs the fucking Death Star. You think the Death Star is powerful as a weapon with its cannons or whatever. How about when you just drop a Death Star on somebody?
Okay, because, we get a panel here of the Death Star literally impacting into Coruscant as... the Millennium Falcon flies away, and Han makes a quip about, man, that's some light show.
boy. And then so. Luke gives a like, hey, man, way to go, Yoda. Way to go.
Okay.
Fucking insane. Okay.
I was just complaining about the, like, moral relativism of Yoda wantonly murdering people in Star Destroyers. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They're fucking Nazis, sure. At the end of the day, Yoda blew them the fuck up. Great.
Yeah, yeah, right, right, right.
The people of Coruscant.
These are just people who live in a city that happens to be under control. This would be like nuking Poland and just going like, well, the Nazis did come in there and take over. So
I mean, I think it is very equivalent to like firebombing of Tokyo, right?
I guess that is true. Yeah.
But like, what if we dropped this city on another city? Because not only are you killing everyone aboard the Death Star, okay, they're Imperial officers serving aboard something called the Death Star. They're implicit.
Right. Yeah, right, yeah. I mean, that is, because of course, I mean, our friends did that when they blew up the Death Star in the first movie.
Sure,
And also again in the third movie.
Yeah, well, look, what are you going to do? They're Imperials serving aboard something called the Death Star. I don't know, like, how you square that. Luke
Skywalker being like, you tell us what we were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, he is destroyed. I mean, the untold, this would cause infinitely more trouble, right? Like, he has destroyed the capital of the universe, basically, right?
Because it, like, obviously it wouldn't blow up the planet, probably.
No, but it would do, it would blow up most, like, at least he's taking it to where, like,
The capital. This is where Senate and the Jedi Temple is, and like
you're like taking out DC, right? Like, I mean, like if you just wiped out DC, okay.
I don't even think DC is comparable. I think it's like, what if you nuked the entire Eastern Seaboard?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and you're just like, okay, yeah, most of America is still around, but like all of the power was concentrated there.
Yeah. So like. And you got to think of just like Coruscant is just stratified layers of because you just wipe out what's on the surface. That's a big enough deal. But then just everything underneath. It's a planet that is a city layered on top of a city on top of a city on top of a city.
So it is insane that we then cut to a parade where people are celebrating.
Because we hard cut to Naboo.
Yeah. Where I guess things are going to run from there now. They're going to have to.
Because
we're just gonna fucking move on and Leia's now the Chancellor of the New, but we're just gonna forget all the 5 years of working with the Empire that she did. We're not gonna have any fucking Nuremberg trials on this shit.
I mean, look, if she was able to make a speech in front of a parade about how she was a rebel and now joins the Empire, I guess she could do the opposite.
Yeah. Actually, no, take it back other way. Now that's how it works.
Yeah.
Once again, this is where this falls apart to me, is it suddenly you have to really truncate all this stuff down the stretch. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
And also, we backed up R2, and so he's got a new body, and don't worry, he died on the Death Star. What was his purpose on being on the Death Star with Yoda?
Yoda wanted to die with a friend. This little droid by my side, he will be. And then once again, 3PO's fine, and he's back bantering. And then, there are all of our Jedi mentor people back as ghosts. And it's, of course, because we don't have any criticism yet, it's still the guy from Jedi as Anakin.
Yeah, the original cut as the Force Ghost. I'm just going to say it right now. If you can translate Force Ghosts as, like, Jedi Heaven, I don't think Yoda deserves to be here.
No, honestly.
Yoda's going to hell.
Yeah, Yoda's going to hell. I think Anakin has a better shot at heaven than him at this point. Yeah. Anakin's like, look, I got to do some shit, but it was nothing compared to I mean, Yoda killed millions upon millions.
Anakin killed a one room full of kids.
Which is awful.
Which is awful.
Just talking numbers.
Yoda destroyed entire school districts.
Yeah. Yeah, Yoda definitely killed a lot more kids. That's for sure. Jesus Christ.
Ugh. Oh,
man.
I will never forget the end of this book because of this. Like, this, when I was reading this as a kid, was just like, yeah. What the fuck? Oh my God. Like, the audacity of Yoda driving the Death Star into the surface of Coruscant.
And the other thing is, because this, of course, covers the trilogy, when we were reading this as kids, it's definitely like, and this is the first one? If this is how you're, what's going to happen in the other two? Good Lord.
Yeah. So, that was the thing, is like, I had sort of assumed that they were sequential in some way, and this book makes it very clear that that is not the case.
No, it basically, like, the what if changes, and then we just follow through to the end of the story for each of them, right? It's kind of how it works.
Because, like, there's a what if for Empire that starts assuming that New Hope happens normally, and then something changes in Empire. And the same thing with Jedi, where it's like, okay, we assume a New Hope and Empire happen normally, and then something different happens in Jedi.
Right, right, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I was reminded of the insanity of this as I was reading this, and so I'm curious to go back to those whenever we get to them someday.
And we will. And look, I have recently reread all of them in quick succession, because when I started reading this for our coverage here, I couldn't help but continue to read on to the other two, because I have that omnibus hardcover hard copy that is just all three of them back to back. And it's a really simple, easy read. Again, in those like trade paperbacks, there's not even really any delineation between issues.
Right, right. Because they're really, even when you do read them in issues.
I will say, I think this is easily the most bonkers of the three.
Mm-hmm.
The Empire one is actually pretty, like,
I remember that one the most of them.
Yeah, it's pretty self-contained to the story of Empire Strikes Back, and as like a remix of that. And Empire goes in some, like, weird directions, or Jedi goes in some weirder directions, but is obviously like, well, you're already at the end of the story, so it has to wrap up.
Right, right, yeah. This is definitely the biggest swing of the bunch in terms of, like, whoa!
Yeah, and look, I think it is a very interesting creative endeavor. I would be so curious to see what modern-day writers would do with this, given the... Now that we have the context of the entire Skywalker saga to well from.
Right, right, yeah. No, it's... of course. And also, it just would be... I would have loved to have seen what Peter David did with it, right? Like, unencumbered by any limits. What would it look like?
Look, did I need his, like, proposed incest stuff? Maybe not.
No, not that specifically. But and I don't even necessarily mean... I guess I don't even necessarily mean him, but, like... If they were truly have been able to be given free reign, these creators, and they this, like, how dark could this have gotten, would have been really interesting. Because, I mean, well, is there a world, it would have been interesting to see a world where, like, the Empire wins, right? Like, if you're really going to take it into what if in some capacity, or, you know.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, I think we see a lot of that possibility in something like Star Wars Visions, where maybe... That show hasn't really dealt directly with any characters from movies outside of like a couple of cameos.
That's totally freed from having to do anything recognizable. Yeah. That's just pure raw imagination of basically, I mean, I don't know what parameters were set on that other than like it still had to vaguely be recognizable as Star Wars.
Yeah. And I mean, like sound effects had to remain the same.
Yeah.
But if the lightsabers go whoosh, then do whatever you want.
That's what I mean. Like, it has to be broadly recognizable, but certainly much more freedom on that. So,
yeah. The second season of that was just so good. That whole, like, French Resistance episode that took place in, like, the cabaret bar, that was so good.
I mean, I said, yeah, that's just pure, like, artistic, anarchy to a certain extent. I mean, not in the most positive sense.
Freedom.
Yeah. So, Grigoni, we wrap up the Infinities. Of course, if people want to check out more content from us, they can head over to our Patreon page, which is patreon.podbean.com/punchup. They can get cool exclusive bonus content from this and all the shows on the Punch Up Entertainment Network, as well as help support us in making better podcasts.
best way to support the show, or one of the best ways to consume the show, I should say, is to come watch it over on YouTube, where you can see all the fun panels that we've been describing, including Yoda's insane suicide run on the planet of Coruscant.
Well, that's worth it alone, just to see that, man.
If you want to let us know in the comments below, what do you think Yoda could have done different in that scenario? I can think of one or two things.
I can think of a few things. There were any number of options. He went right to mass slaughter. So, you know, that's classic Yoda.
Classic Yoda. What are you going to do?
You know what I mean? That guy's, man. But we'll be back to the... We're heading to Empire next, right?
We're heading into the Empire Strikes Back. What if Marvel told an Empire Striking Back? We are going to see how that coverage just decimates some of the established canon of that comic book.
Oh, yeah.
And moving forward, we'll see what it can do to Jabba the Hutt with one T, whether or not Vader comes to grips with the fact that he is, in fact, a Skywalker, and what is up with that crazy Emperor anyway.
He's up to some shit.
Now, here's the thing that I'm looking forward to.
Guy, though, right?
In this one, if he's a lizard guy, like in the original cut of Empire?
Yep.
We shall see.
I don't know.
But we'll have to see in the future, because for now, I have been Mike Gergoni.
I'm John Campbell.
And remember, may the panel be with you.